This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, better late than never, huh? Wow. Good morning from a rain-soaked Johannesburg. We're here. Let's see. There's Sia Sangweni. There's Ben Karpinski. There's Leanne Moll. Busy. Mm-hmm. What a busy morning we have ahead of us. Are you ready to take on Monday? You feeling strong? Mm. You ready to do your job? I heard something horrifying the other day. I heard 64% of people don't like what they do for a living. 24% of people apparently don't. They hate it. 24% of people actually hate it. And then the rest, about 13%, actually enjoy what they do.
Oi.
That's a very bad number, right? That's very few. That means a lot of people are deeply, deeply unhappy.
It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, have you seen people's faces in the traffic as they're driving?
Yeah, by the way, that was a Gallup poll, in case you want to look it up. How's that, huh? 13% of people actually enjoy what they do. What they spend the majority of their waking hours doing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Does that worry you? Worries me. Like, I enjoy what I'm doing, and I feel lucky to be able to do what I do. Mm-hmm. And there are bad days, too, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has those. But the majority of the time, I'm going, I'm enjoying this. This is good. This is something I feel is positive. I'm creating things where there weren't things before. This is good. Fucking 24% of people hate their jobs.
Hate is a very hate strong
hate.
Word.
As in, like, hectic, waking right? up in the Monday morning is actual horror.
Yeah, they are. They are filled with anxiety.
They cry in the shower.
Yes.
They're probably sitting looking at Martha going up to the water cooler thinking, how could I poison her?
And some of them do.
Yeah.
Right. And honestly, if you're living like that, You have to do something about it. You can't carry on doing that to yourself. You will spiral out of control.
Yeah. I was listening to this really interesting Joe Rogan podcast last week.
Yeah.
That's how every sentence starts, because all his podcasts are so good. But he was talking about, like, the root of depression and addiction and all these different things with this guy whose name I've just forgotten. But it was interesting how people say drugs are the devil, you know, the war on drugs. But it's not. It's like, why do people want to take drugs? Like, people are so quick to not be in the present anymore because they hate their present so much.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hate your job, there's a very good chance you hate your friends or you hate your partner.
Well,
you hate your house.
You're not getting what you want, and so you take substances to numb yourself.
Exactly. So you want to get away from this situation that you absolutely hate. So while those exist, you're going to have a drug problem. Not because drugs exist, you're going to have a drug problem.
Uh-huh.
And it was just 2 hours of just insight after case study, after how places in the world have done it better than the others. And that's what it comes down to. This whole war on drugs is just the stupidest thing ever. It's just making drugs worse.
Oh, man.
And people are unhappy for a number of reasons. They don't know why they're unhappy sometimes. This crass materialism we see everywhere where people think, well, if I just had a Ferrari, or if I just had that latest pair of headphones or whatever, then I'd be happy.
Yeah.
But they're not, and those things won't make them happy.
Or if I just had 10,000 rand to get through this.
So exactly, and when we're all worried about, like, if we just had abundance of material things, we think we'd be happy, but you wouldn't be.
I think that statement is a problem in and of itself, though, where people are unhappy and they don't know why they're unhappy. I think that's a major part
of
the
problem. It's a huge problem.
Because you go out in life just generally being a grump when identify what it is and try to fix it.
Well, this is it. If you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you got there?
Preach.
Right? Exactly. I said this to my brother once when he came back from America, and he'd been doing a sabbatical over there, and he wasn't sure whether he wanted to do this or do that. And nothing was coming at him because he hadn't decided what kinds of things he wanted.
There we go.
So he was going around in circles going, I'm not getting the job interested I thought I would get. I said to him, but what do you want? And only when you identify what you want can it come to you. Anyway, the point I'm getting to with all of this is that the happiness that we think we seek is around us all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I was down in Cape Town. The whole reason I went down was for one of my friends. He is getting married. The idea that we had yesterday was it was an engagement party.
One of those.
Oh. And then it turns into a wedding because he grabs the microphone at some point. It's very casual. We're all standing around having drinks in this very sort of fun place. And, you know, everybody's kind of reconnecting. And there's some people who know each other well. And you could see some people who've met each other for the first time. And it's a nice vibe. Mm. And he grabs the microphone and he goes, I would just like to ask his girlfriend, his fiance, I'd just like to ask her dad a question. I've already asked him one question. Can I marry your daughter? And now I'd like to ask him a follow-up question. Can I marry your daughter now?
Oh, no.
And everybody moves aside so that there's like an aisle. And I mean, it's like in a like a drinks establishment. And then they get married right there and then. One of the friends has prepared a little speech. They're kind of like the officiating party there. And they just get it. Took 5 minutes, all right? 5 minutes. And there was something cute in it, too, because the friend, by the way, a very hot friend, she says, she says, the only two who can marry you are yourselves. You have to get married. No one else. That you don't need some person going magic, magic, bibbidi, bobbidi, boo, and then the two of you are married. So she said, you pronounce yourselves married. It wasn't a religious ceremony at all. It took 5 minutes, and they were married. Then they said, right, now let's carry on partying.
Who was in the fantastic. Know?
Yeah, it was great.
Was a bride in the know as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, the bride and the groom knew.
Okay.
But everybody else was none the wiser. So we all thought engagement party. So people weren't dressed for a wedding. You know, it was kind of like a little more casual.
Well, the bride probably wasn't dressed for a wedding either.
Well, she had another little outfit somewhere. So she, that whole thing, she...
A but it was very, summon.
Yeah, but it was beautifully done. And then it moved from there to another venue, and that was kind of like the reception. But it wasn't a formal, complicated, effortful thing. It was just very easy. And I looked at these two people, and I saw them so happy, and I looked around the room, because I love to do that. Whenever, you know, the focus is on those two getting married, but you look around the room and everybody's beaming. Everybody's happy. No one's going, I'm jealous of them. No one's going, I wish I had that girl's shoes. No one's going, I wish that this drink was colder. Everybody's happy. They're happy in that moment for those other people. Because it's not about them either, right? And people forget this. So I was just really blown away by this observation. Mm. And I thought, you know what? Not hard to be happy.
But also simplicity creates happiness for you.
Oh, and listen.
And so often we forget about that, but simplicity is the real ultimate happiness. And
sometimes complex also gives you happiness, though.
But Sia, can you imagine how many people have to plan for 3 years in advance what the wedding is going to be like?
Yep. Yes.
Who's on the guest list?
Family dramas.
What the wedding dress is.
Also, you would have had to have gone down to Cape Town again for the wedding.
Exactly. And this was just so efficient. Jesus, I was impressed.
Oh.
Wow. They just got married.
There was no bridezilla
nothing.
Moment or nothing. Weeks thereof.
It was so easy. And look, they've been living together anyway for the last year and a half, 2 years.
In sin.
Yeah, in sin. And,
gosh, who does that?
And they're going to carry on living together. So what's the difference? So there's a bibbidi-bum magic words, and then suddenly they're married. Get on with it. It was so cool because I think a lot of people would like the idea of just keeping things simple. Don't need a ceremony. Not you, Sia. You want a whole thing.
Sia still wants swans that tap dance. Yeah.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, I saw a video of a wife who floated down the aisle. She was, the entire ceremony was on a lawn, and she walked out of the second floor balcony and then got into this contraption with white balloons and floated off the second floor and down onto the lawn and just gracefully landed on the aisle. Now that's kind of complicated. That makes my heart skip a beat. Oh, yes. It was beautiful.
Oh, boy.
I would need that, then I'll be happy.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, so a couple of things today. We've got someone who's a bit of an activist coming in to tell us about a game that is massively controversial. So that could be interesting. If you want to hear about that, stick around. And also, a special effects makeup artist is going to come by to tell us about... And she's done some really... I follow her on Instagram. She does some incredible stuff. Makes it look like, you know, someone's hand is rotting off, makes it look like their eye's fallen out. They can do some amazing things.
I love watching those or following those accounts on YouTube.
And make people look old, make people look different. It's incredible.
Make your face
right?
look like an X-ray.
Yeah. It's amazing stuff. So she's going to pop by a bit later on too. Anyway, how's everyone's weekend?
Yeah, it was all right.
Didn't you have an anniversary?
Yeah, 6 years.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
Very impressive.
Yeah, happy times.
Did you get married at the same time, just to make it simple?
No, we forgot about that. We're having too much of a good time having a nice dinner.
I could see you two just eloping.
Yeah.
I could easily see that happening.
Well, I would like to do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Daniela, not so much.
She would too, but then she's also got family things. And
Yeah. They're all going to be pissed off if you just...
Yeah, like on my side, as long as we on my family side, as long as I put my pictures in the WhatsApp group, they'll be okay.
That's all they need.
They're any recognition they need. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So yeah, 6 years, we had a nice anniversary weekend.
Congratulations!
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And I'm trying still not to drink. It's hard.
But you're still doing the new beers resolution.
I know, and I'm going through the alcohol-free beers, and I can tell you that there are amazing alcohol-free beers out there. I didn't know this. I feel like I've gone halfway to the moon. I had like a craft alcohol-free beer on the weekend, and it tasted great. It was amazing. I felt like I was drinking beer.
Does it feel weird not getting tipsy from drinking beer?
I kind of like that, actually, Helene. Look, there's times I want to get shit-faced. No doubt about it. That's what happens. But there's times where you just want to drink and be part of life. And I don't miss the hangovers whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that I'm quite alert and together. There will be times where I'm going to clap the red wine quite soon.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to get it. But
clap it.
look out, red wine.
I've genuinely found 3 beers with no alcohol in that I actually enjoy drinking. And I can say that without any endorsement or anything like that.
Yeah, because the one or two I've tried are really crazy. Yeah,
some of them are quite shitty. For some reason, they also try to put fruit with them, which is just stupid.
I don't like beer. I don't even like normal
it's
beer.
It's because you haven't got out of adolescent yet.
No, I don't enjoy beer. I don't enjoy the way it makes me feel. I get all bloated from it. I don't like the taste of it. Mm. Don't get me wrong. There's something very lovely about that first sip of an ice-cold beer on a summer day. But after that, every second, third, fourth, and fifth sip just starts to get shittier.
I get that. Like,
so like it's not – I don't enjoy it.
But then again, you don't really enjoy many boozes.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
It's just I only drink one kind of booze.
Yeah. But you do that for a scientific reason. So I genuinely
scientific
do –
Scientific reason?
I genuinely do enjoy the taste of alcohol drinks, that is.
Okay.
Because I can't – I don't drink soft drinks. I don't drink Coke or Fanta or whatever other kid things. Yeah, so this has been an ongoing adventure for me to discover these new things. But I'm getting back on the source soon. Because obviously the only reason I'm doing this is because of the medication I'm on for my aching old
manness.
Bedraggled back.
Ben just gave us some serious side eye.
I
just got to the chase. Old madness.
Yeah. I saw something on Twitter. I've got to bring this up because it's so weird. I didn't even realize who it was. Just saw it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So... the chick from The Bachelor, the Tenjiwe, who was meant to be in here.
Yeah.
The one that fainted.
Yeah, so she... Here's her comment on... She references me at Gareth Cliff and says, "Mr. Cliff, I just listened to your show. You threw some heavy shade out there, I see. So you insinuate that I'm a coward. What? That's a low blow even for you. You have any questions, you know where to find me. I'd love to show you how cowardly I really am."
Oh?
I don't know what...
I think you said something like she chickened out.
I remember.
It was a joke.
Yeah, she listen, you idiot.
No.
You want to know about shade. I'm going to tell you what. There's something called humor and irony and sarcasm, and I'd like you to spend a year of your life trying to understand them by appreciating good literature. I'll give you a couple of things that you could start reading. You could start with The Cat in the Hat, and we'll move on from there. Because you haven't read enough in your life to understand tone and humor. The reason I said you were cowardly is because you were meant to be here on the show the other day. You didn't pitch. It was a joke. I said it to the other girl who did pitch. That's all. You're not important enough to me for me to think about you as being a coward in a real sense. I don't know what you're like. I've seen you on TV twice. Get over yourself. And now, no, you're not welcome on the show. Now you've pissed me off. So thank you very much, whoever the fuck you are.
Okay.
Good Lord. Sia, will you pass that on to her and tell her she can listen to this podcast? Thank you. Good.
Sure.
Really?
Sure, but that last episode of The Bachelor, though. I watched that on Saturday morning.
Oh, because you didn't watch last time. No, so it was the one where no one was eliminated.
Yeah. And they went to Zimbabwe.
Yes.
How Kate and you went
to a beautiful resort.
Oh, look at that. The beautiful. Yeah, I mean, the Bachelor's doing more for the Zimbabwean economy than anyone in the ZANU PF have. Take that, Zimbabwe.
In what way?
Hang your head in shame. Promoting tourism.
Yeah, sure. Showing off how good it is.
Buying booze. Operating a bungee swing.
Paying the people to operate the bungee
swing.
These
are all positive things. When the Bachelor left, Zimbabwe is in a better place.
Wow. Okay.
Apparently, I kind of laughed and smiled like an idiot when I read this story. Apparently, the Clinton Foundation has basically ceased existence. Now, this used to be a massive gravy train. Ooh. I mean, they used to go around and speak at events.
Yeah, they had those machines $1 million that dispensed money.
Yeah. So the Clinton Foundation is apparently finished. No one is donating money because there are no more favors to sell. And Bill and Hillary Clinton, Bill and Hillary have pretty much been frozen out of the Democratic Party.
That's a really good point, Gareth, because they were always selling this dream that Hillary would be in the White House and then you'll get the returns of all your investments.
Right.
And everyone's like, well, she's got no chance now.
Yes, exactly. Isn't that interesting?
That is quite funny.
End of an era.
So, what a shame.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure their last gig was out here, the Clintons.
I think so. They came out here and that was their last big payday. Hey, Chelsea, can you lend your mom and I some... We just need $200 for food and coffees, if you don't mind. Huh? What do you think?
Look, a lot of people warrant sympathy, but the Clintons don't. I'm sure they're good and happy on one of their many estates somewhere in the world. Oh, and Chelsea's pregnant.
Is she?
Yes, Chelsea Clinton.
All right, good. What is that?
Nothing.
Is that a,
what was that?
Is that a death rattle? What was that sound?
So... Don't speak ill about Chelsea.
I didn't. I'm just shivering. It's cold this morning.
Oh, she just looks like Hillary.
Oh, shame. No, you know what? Can I tell you something? There's nothing wrong with that child, and she's not a child anymore. She's a grown woman. But for people to... I mean, this is like people saying things about Sasha and Malia or people saying things about Donald Trump's son, Barron. You can't. These are not your children. You don't know them. They're probably just ordinary kids that happen to have grown up in the White House. Chelsea Clinton is not a horrible human being. Despite what anyone might say, she's just like everyone else.
Or what someone might mumble.
Yeah, I mean...
I did nothing.
I think Ben was referring to the way she looks, which you're allowed to have preferences.
Gosh, both of you, just stay in your lane. I did no such thing.
Okay, Ben.
I know what you did. You went... You horrible person.
Shame, it's just... you have to look at her and... rattle your brain for 2 seconds.
Because yeah, enough. Give her a chance, please.
She looks like... She really is a spitting image of her father and mother. It's just like their two faces were like plastered together and slapped onto the body of a 30-something-year-old. It's like, what is Bill
doing
like on
a threesome
30-year-old?
Between Hillary and Bill and Monica.
Hey, stop it now. Stop it. What nastiness is...
Bill's also cut and paste himself into many a 30-year-old woman.
Yeah.
All right, apparently... Okay, let's get into the 5 things you need to know. It's 6:30.
Yeah, to stop speaking ill of people.
Residents of Alex have confirmed that they will take their shutdown protest to Sandton on Monday. They say a resolution was taken at a public meeting at a local community center. They backed down from the same threat earlier in the week. On Wednesday, residents blocked roads, shutting down the neighborhood. They said they were angry over a lack of development in the area and claimed that foreign nationals were illegally constructing shacks. They also complained that they'd been ignored by Mayor Herman Mashaba, who said they who they said was taking them for granted. Now, there are a couple of things going on here. First of all, this is being spearheaded by the ANC in Alexandra. And guess why? Because there's an election coming up.
Yep.
And guess why else? Because the mayor of Johannesburg is a DA mayor. And the ANC don't like that. This is not about how things in Alex have suddenly got worse than they've ever been. They've always been bad. The ANC did zero for Alex. It is a fucking disaster. If you live there, and we've got Jane who lives there, she will tell you, it is an awful place to live. There are people building right on top of each other. There is congestion. There is no... I've been into Alex a couple of times. You don't know where you are half the time.
No.
I mean,
you don't even know if you're on a road or on a pavement.
GPS does nothing for you.
It
you
stops need to, working.
Yeah, people navigate by sign. They say, oh, well, there's this ad for like a certain cell phone network. Then you turn right. Then you might find the police station. It's unbelievable, right? No infrastructure. And, of course, government have been completely lax about taking care of the people. Alex, why? Because they're poor. They don't make as much noise.
There are also these massive buildings that are rented out by someone who's illegally charging people. Sure. These sort of empty warehouses that are just partitioned by curtains.
Ugh, horrible.
And making people pay to live there.
So, first of all, don't think that the people of Alex have they've settled over the last 20 years for whatever they've got because they've been getting nothing. Now, the ANC is making trouble because the election's coming up and it's all about the DA. And it's ironic to me that when did Herman Mashaba take over? 2 years ago? A year and a half ago?
Yeah.
So, for the last 25 years, the ANC have been in control of Alex. Did they do anything?
No.
Now it's Herman Mashaba's fault? Because of the last year and a half? I don't think so. Anyone who spends more than 5 minutes looking at this story will know that that's not true. So, residents have been protesting since Wednesday over a range of issues, including housing. And this is the problem, right? You've got Alex on one side of the highway where people are living in abject poverty. And then you've got Sandton on the other side of the highway where people are living an upper middle class first world existence. You can't have that. There has to be some kind of balance brought to this. And you can't squeeze more people into Alex. Alex is the most centrally located of all of the townships. And as a result, it's completely overpopulated. And there isn't space to build more houses. Mm. So it's a mess. A poacher has been killed by an elephant and then eaten by lions.
Well,
isn't that great?
That's fantastic.
Why is it that we love a story like that so much?
Because nature.
It's the circle of life.
Because poachers are low on the food chain and they should be eaten often.
So apparently an Mpumalanga policeman has said that the man was a rhino poacher. Police received information that some men had gone poaching in the Kruger National Park on the 1st of April when suddenly an elephant attacked and killed one of them. His accomplices claimed to have carried his body to the road so that passers-by could find it in the morning, but they then vanished from the park. Once outside, they reportedly informed a relative of the dead man about their ordeal, and police were alerted. A search operation was launched, and the human skull and pieces of clothing were found.
Oh my gosh.
Lions ate him.
Shucks.
I hope he wasn't in bad health, because it'd be horrible to think the lions picked anything up from that.
Uh-huh.
Indications found at the scene suggested a pride of lions had devoured the remains, leaving only a human skull and a pair of pants.
Oh.
Bad pants. Must have been bad pants. That's
they ate everything else?
They ate everything.
Except the skull and pants.
That's it.
Oh, wow.
And then I've always said these things are terrible, but no one believes me. The Ironman competition took place in Port Elizabeth on Sunday.
Yeah.
Two participants died.
In the swim, yeah. Well, the swim was traumatic. It was meant to be the full 3.8, I think, kilometers. Mm. And because of choppy waters, it was cut down to 1.6.
So the names of the deceased will be released at a later stage and a post-mortem will be conducted to determine the exact cause of their deaths. The police there have said they've conveyed condolences to the family and friends. The championship organizers said in a statement they were working with the local authorities to gather information. It is with great sadness that we confirm the death of two race participants at the Ironman Africa Championship. Both athletes required medical attention during the swim portion of Sunday's race and were transported to a nearby hospital where they were treated. Hmm. I don't think you should be doing these things. I've said it before.
Gareth, let it go. This is the pinnacle of many people's lives, okay? Just let it go. That's like saying you shouldn't ever open your own business. Stay in your lane and just do something ordinary. For some people, this gives them a huge amount of purpose.
Fine.
People die in life.
Fine,
okay?
Ben.
Happens.
Well, okay. Then I hope you die in doing something you love. All right?
It's the circle of life again.
Harare. More than a dozen employees at the Zimbabwean unit of Nedbank have been arrested for allegedly defrauding their employer of more than $1 million between October and March. So, 28 bank workers allegedly took advantage of skewed exchange rates to withdraw US dollars from the bank and replace them with local currency when the exchange rate was fixed at 1 to 1. That's clever. Don't you think that's clever?
The thing with crooks is, Gareth, they've been historically quite smart.
They have. Some of them get away with it.
I'm not smart enough to be a crook, no. That's for sure.
So court papers say the workers allegedly withdrew US dollars from depositors' accounts and replaced them with local electronic money. So how's that?
Okay.
Well, they found them. They've confirmed the arrests. Zimbabwe's official exchange rate was floated in February, although the rates offered for scarce US dollars by commercial banks are still a lot lower than those offered on the parallel market. I mean, you just Zimbabwe is just so strange because you can't use Zim dollars. Nobody does anymore. It's toilet paper. And the US dollar is what they have to use, but they still have to have some kind of exchange, right?
It's very
bizarre. That's what happens when an economy fails, everybody. So let's try and not do that here, okay? We've got pretty damn close. Let's try and not do that here. So here's a story about someone we keep talking about on the show, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Apparently his family have released their own documentary.
Ooh,
in response to Leaving Neverland, yeah. They called it Neverland Firsthand. Investigating the Michael Jackson documentary.
So now, which of the Jacksons would have been involved in this?
Tito. What has LZ been doing for the last 40 years? Jermaine.
The interviews with Michael's nephew, Taj Jackson, and Brandy Jackson, as well as longtime technical director Brad Sundberg, who regularly stayed at the Neverland estate and never saw any children at the ranch who looked abused.
Oh, they all looked plump and healthy.
Didn't look abused. This sounds like a bit of a reaction documentary.
Of course.
Well, do you want to hear what... Here's the trailer. The following film contains information that some viewers may find disturbing. You know that stuff, right? So here it is. And of course, they have to caveat this by saying sexual molestation is a very serious thing, and we're not saying that that doesn't happen.
Right.
Nobody was paid to participate.
An explosive new documentary set to air on HBO is reigniting claims that Michael Jackson sexually abused children.
You dated Wade Robson, one of the accusers in Leaving Neverland, for over 7 years. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Neverland was unbelievable. I have literally been in every corner, every closet. I mean, there was that level of trust.
They've repeatedly changed their stories, and the evidence overwhelmingly undermines it.
Yeah, he took the easy way. It makes sense.
If I go through with this, I win big time. I will get everything I want. They will be destroyed forever.
This just gets wilder every single day.
I will take anybody down that harms a child.
So there it is. A little bit of a snapshot of the new documentary.
Hmm. Who's taking people down if they harm a child?
That's what one of the fathers apparently said that. They've talked about this a couple of times in various forums after the whole Leaving Neverland or Finding Neverland or whatever it's called, that the kids have changed their stories. They're now grown adults. They've changed their stories a lot along the way.
Well, this documentary is only 30 minutes long as opposed to the 4 hours of Leaving Neverland. So
more may watch it, Sia.
Exactly.
Seems more digestible.
And it's on YouTube already. It's officially released on YouTube. So I'll give it a watch. I'll see.
And then just quickly, I thought this was interesting. Andile Ngitama from the BLF has shown off a suit that he said was sent to him by North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un.
Oh, that's fancy.
Speaking at the party's manifesto launch on Saturday, Ngitama claimed that he had the support of the North Korean supreme leader. Well, there's nothing from Korea to corroborate this, so he could just be making it up. He probably is. I mean, I guarantee you Kim Jong-un doesn't know who the fuck he is.
Didn't someone send Zuma pajamas? Silk pajamas?
Yeah, Silvia Berlusconi.
Oh, yes, there we go.
All right. That's all you need to know in the news this morning. There's enough to chew on there. Let's turn our attention to Ben. By the way, Bitcoin's back over $5,303, and Ethereum at $185. Isn't that exciting? Okay, no, maybe not. Right, yeah. Clearly, everybody who was once excited about this stuff isn't anymore. Let's turn our attention to Ben. What do you have for us in the sport, Ben?
It's Masters Week, Gareth. Oh, it's Masters Week.
All right, so you want the Masters music.
Damn right.
I've got you. This is Ben's favorite piece of music that's ever been written.
There it is.
Sounds like an ad for a time.
Shut up, Leanne. It's Masters Week. Masters Week, here it is. It is that beautiful time in April where the world's most famed, beautiful, picturesque, just I run out of words to describe this golf course, where the world's best golfers converge in this place, all to try win a piece of fashion which is quite questionable. I mean, who wears green jackets? I don't see anyone wearing green jackets, but in the context, it is the greatest piece of clothing in the entire golfing world. Now, we all know Tiger Woods is back. Does this mean his incredible comeback can be completely glorified with another Masters jacket of his own? Patrick Reed is the defending champion, but everybody hates him, so we'll move straight along. Justin Rose is currently the number one ranked player in the world. He's finished twice there as runner-up. Could this be the year he does it? He choked the crap out of it when Sergio finally won, and also an unhappy win that one was. In many ways, a bunch of doers have won the Masters the last few years. Bubba Watson, Patrick Reed, Sergio Garcia, Danny Willett. It's time for a good guy to come through. Does this mean that Ricky Fowler will finally do it? He didn't play in the WGC Dell Technologies match play because he probably thought, this is not how I'm going to tune up for my Masters success. The guy finishes top five quite often there. He's got the game for it. Is this his year? I bloody hope so. I really do. Louis Oosthuizen's also looking pretty good form-wise. Of course, he came so close to winning the green jacket a year after Charles Wassel did. So he is South Africa's number one prospect for the title. Otherwise, there are so many other rookies to look out for. And of course, Jordan Spieth. His game is all over the place right now, but he just somehow gets it right at Augusta. So he's another guy to look out for. There's nothing else I can really say right now as I wipe the tears off my off my cheeks of how emotional this all is. It's all happening from tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll see who's playing with whom in the first few rounds. And then the coverage starts, of course, on Wednesday with the Par 3 tournament, where everyone parades their either wives, girlfriends, or small children. And then on Thursday, the ceremonial starters, led by our own Mr. Gary Player, will be out in that first tee, knocking the first ball out there like the true champion that he always will be. And then it's go time, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So if one were to watch this on TV and follow it,
yes, Leanne,
how many hours a day would you be committing to this?
The answer there is not enough. It's not on long enough, but essentially you'll be able to watch it from by like 7 o'clock South African time right through to the early hours of the morning, to which you want to do it over and over and over again.
Yeah,
it's the Masters, Augusta National 2019. More about this on Wednesday, where I'll be able to tell you who's playing with who in the first few rounds.
Fantastic.
Oh, what a time to be alive. Incredible time of the year. In other golf news, it was the Jordan Mixed Open over the weekend. Now, we spoke about this a few weeks ago in that it was the only tournament that we have the male professionals, the female professionals, and the old codgers too, who are still there and thereabout, okay? All three of them, one field, one tournament, three different tee boxes. And Megan McLaren, a woman, was going to win it. She was leading going into the final round. Unfortunately, she went backwards. She shot a level par 72 as Dan Huizing.
Okay.
He came through, the Dutchman, and he won. Now, you'll see a headline today saying Dutchman holds off English woman to win. But it's more about the fact that this tournament is just showing this is actually a really cool thing to do. So, naturally, the men, the sort of full professional men, they dominated the leaderboard. But the fact that Megan was so far up there, our own Stacey Lee Bregman, she finished 18th. So she was the top performing South African, men or women, whatever. But it's a really cool format. I mean, I think it's gone down really well. Obviously, there were the detractors saying this is absolute horseshit. Golf needs to stay in its lane, blah, 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 blah. Women have their tour, the men have their tour. No, I believe this. There's a real chance for this to work. And good on Jordan, the rich, really cosmopolitan area of Jordan, for basically pioneering this. Yeah. See, all these things happen. Okay. I think that's enough golf just to start off with. There was also a big rugby weekend, but it was a dreadful rugby weekend for the South African teams. The Lions in particular, when did these guys become so shit? It's a question I asked because it's an answer I do not have. They lost 42-5. That was obviously the crowd attendance too, 42 and then 5 Sharks fans. There was 42-5 on the field there, an absolute complete performance by the Sharks. Their backline was just mesmerizing. But then again, like, all credit to them, but the Lions, when did they just suddenly... They were always SA's best team. I mean, they lost to the Stormers the other day.
That's incredible.
It's embarrassing. Now they got shocking. Absolutely hammered, and this is at home on a Friday night in Hillbrow. I mean, it's a daunting place to go to, and the Lions were the ones that actually ended up with a tail between the legs. In other games from the Friday, Highlanders Hurricanes. I told you it'd be the best game to watch. Hurricanes 31-28. That game was so frenetic. It was like it was just so much to take in. It really was. The Stormers continue to be completely, absolutely shite. Robbie Fleck obviously just keeps on with the old mantra of we just one game away from clicking. To which someone on Twitter said it'll be 2027. He's still using that line, waiting for that one game to click. Siya Kolisi got a yellow card, and with that, the Reds lost to the Stormers 24-12. They got one more game on the Australasian tour, and ultimately, if rugby was more like football, Robbie Fleck would be out in his ass because these results are just not good enough. They're absolutely atrocious. On Saturday, the Crusaders are just the best team going. They hammered the Brumbies 36-14. The Blues, they were doing very well. The game was actually very tight against the Waratahs. Eventually, they came out winners 32-29. The Rebels, they hammered the Sunwolves. Now, the Sunwolves have been quite a prickly thorn in the side of many teams this year, but the Rebels said, screw that, we're going to absolutely ham you, 42-15. And then the Bulls. Well, they just lack the fire, they lack the person, they lacked a lot of things. We haven't heard that word since Ashton's been given the flick as well, so I might as well bring it back. They were playing against the Hagawadith, and, well, it was just a boring match. Such a boring match. And in the end, the Bulls just kind of rolled over and played dead. And then the Hagawadith just came through, purring their way to victory, 22-20. I know. Anthea had money in that game, and she's still upset about it. In other news from sport, it was the FA Cup semi-finals over the weekend. Wolves fans, I feel for you. I really do. 2-0 up against Watford, with a final against Man United in the offing. And Watford came back 3-2 to win it in injury time. So they will take on Man City. Man City beat Brighton 1-0. Of course, you're also wondering when the Champions League is coming back on. That's this week. Tomorrow, Liverpool versus Porto, 9 o'clock. Spurs versus Man City, same time. So really, really big crunch time for Man City because they're looking for the quadruple. Pep Guardiola, that really dashing bald man, said, no, there is no quadruple. We basically need to try to win the league and then try to win the Champions League and the FA Cup and all that other kind of stuff. That's just, well, who cares? They've already won that League Cup, which no one cares about. The other three are very much in sight. But it's all down to Champions League. That's why the Abu Dhabi billions kind of acquired Guardiola to be there, was to win the Champions League. It's all they really care about. And then on Wednesday, Man United versus Barcelona and Ajax versus Juventus. Those are quarterfinals for the Champions League, which will be back on this week. In local ABSA Premiership, there was matches of the weekend. Maritzburg United, very strong against Bloem Celtic, 2-1. The game everybody was looking out for was Wits versus Pirates. Wits at home, they lost 1-0. Gosh golly. Kaiser Chiefs, they beat... No, they didn't. They lost to Barocco 1-0. And on Sunday, the big game there was Polokwane 3, Black Leopards 1. So it is basically all about the Masters this week. I had other sports stories. I tried. I mean, there's tennis around there somewhere along the lines. I'm sure there's still IPL. There was no F1 over the weekend. That comes back this week, the Shanghai Grand Prix. And gosh, am I excited to watch that.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Are you? It's hard to tell when you're being sarcastic.
The Netflix, as I said last week.
He watched a documentary that changed his life.
As I said last week, the Netflix F1 Drive to Survive series is life-changing. It is so good. And what I find so incredible about it, well, there's about 75,000 things I find incredible about the show, is that F1's all about Mercedes Ferrari, right? It's all about Hamilton Vettel, right? This entire show, you don't even see them, because they show you the depth of the sport, something that you never see on the podium, but that's the real story. And that is why F1 is such an amazing sport, Gareth.
You worry me, Ben. You could watch a documentary on Christianity or something and be completely converted overnight.
Yeah, but I try to stay in the real world, though. I don't do much hocus pocus.
Okay.
I can see F1 and there's actual drivers. It does happen.
Okay.
And it will happen.
Phew, I was worried there for a second. Yeah.
But Leanne, I'm a man that will learn things in life and adapt accordingly. I'm not some idiot who sits in with my head up a certain orifice and then decide that that's it for the rest of eternity.
Very good.
I learn and I move on. And this is where we are. And this is where we are on Monday. More sport on Wednesday.
Thank you, Ben.
Where I'll have more about the Masters.
All right, it's time for Anthea. You ready for a little bit of money talk?
Ooh.
It's time for the money shot. Yes, here she is. Anthea Gardner. Na-na,
na-na. She looks hard for the money. So hard for the honey. tablecloth for the money, so you better print a ride.
Such a great version of that song. All right. Mm. So, tell me about Moody's.
Turn a microphone on.
Tell me about Moody's.
Yeah, so we had an investor call last week, Tuesday, I think it was, and they told us basically why they thought South Africa shouldn't get downgraded. And what was interesting about it was that they changed the way they look at the country, or they look at our debt. They've taken municipal debt out of the formula. So what they're saying is that previously we were different from the way they looked at other emerging markets, and now they've just aligned us, which is very weird. Because actually, if you're going to do that, then you have to look, you have to recalculate or revalue the other debt positions, right? You can't just change the formula and go, well, okay, now everything's fine, because it's actually not fine.
So why are we getting special treatment?
Well, we're not. They say we were getting special treatment before.
But then why were we getting special treatment before?
I don't know.
So I thought these guys were meant to be credible and objective, and they're meant to be helpful and useful to investors so that they know whether or not they're putting their money at risk.
That's right. And you will remember that Moody's were the last people in the 2008 global financial crisis to downgrade all the banks and the countries, right?
Yeah.
So they seem to be behind the curve. And I thought this would make them want to catch up. But they don't seem to be bothered. Like, they're just like, oh, well, this is how we do it, and we're okay with it. I honestly think they've taken downgrading South Africa to junk status off the table, which is interesting, yeah. So I thought they would downgrade us from stable to negative outlook last week when they were supposed to. And then I thought they would downgrade us to junk status at the budget in October. But now, after listening to them, I've changed my mind. I actually think they're not going to downgrade us, which is fantastically interesting. I'm not sure what to do about it. It's kind of, I have to think about it. You kind of have to, because I don't think anything in South Africa's changed,
no.
Right?
No.
Anyway, it doesn't matter because it was good for us. We had a really good start to the week. Global markets rallied on the back of good Chinese data. South Africa, well, with emerging markets, we had a really nice rally on Monday and Tuesday. Actually, the market was up 1.6% on Monday and another 1.5% on Tuesday.
That's good news.
I know, but then it was really slow from a company perspective last week. There weren't many companies reporting. And the economic data wasn't great.
Well, let's look at some of that. I mean, new vehicle sales is usually a good barometer for how well things are going.
It is, and it's also a leading indicator. So it shows kind of forward looking, you know, whether people are confident enough to buy a car, which they need to pay off over 5 years. So I'm afraid new vehicle sales last week came very dismal. I mean, you know, given that the cars don't come cheap. When people look at spending money, it's an indication of consumer and business confidence. And I'm afraid there just isn't that. Total sales declined for the third consecutive month. So 3.1% lower for March compared to the same time last year. And then that was also confirmed by the Purchasing Managers Index, which basically is a survey with business people who are placing orders into the system, and that slipped to 48.8. Sorry, I keep wanting to say percentage, but it's not a percentage. This index, right? Above 50 shows an expansion in the economy. Below 50 shows contraction. So 48.8 is contraction. It was the, let me think about this, sixth time in 7 months that this is below 50. So it's showing probably what you already know, that the South African economy is struggling.
So the Rand firmed on Friday.
Yeah, and this was not just South Africa and Moody's and kind of the positive talk. The way I see it, what I think, or kind of, it's hard to guess, but what I think is that the Rand is 70% driven by offshore investors or traders. And this is an emerging market story. So China and the US seem to be coming to some sort of trade agreement. And emerging markets are back in the picture. And again, kind of, you know, very exciting
stuff
for us.
Well, that's good for us. Let's grab it with both hands.
And then also U.S. unemployment or non-farm payrolls came out on Friday. Good number. They created 196,000 jobs, which was 16,000 more than we were expecting. We were looking for 180,000. I mean, so it's just nonstop. It's phenomenal, right? Unemployment is now 3.8%. But for the first time in 19 months, manufacturing in the U.S. actually declined. So manufacturing sector has been creating jobs for 19 consecutive months. Mm-hmm. And then last month, it actually declined. So now people are a little bit worried. And also wage growth only came in at 3.2%, which is not that great. You know, so they're doing what they've been doing since the GFC, actually. And they're employing at lower wages, basically, which is so lower paid jobs. So if you remember the GFC, I mean, all the top guys, remember the banks, my goodness, it was just like head cutting at the top level. Yeah, all the directors
there
in the banks
were people running
went
out with their boxes full of stuff and like being fired. And oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
During the global financial crisis here.
Just something.
Horrible. So Trump is making jabs. There are still more jabs available.
How do you spell that?
He says we've got a lot of jabs. You know, I think it's with J A A.
And those aren't injections, right?
No, it's JAABS. Jabs. He always talks about the job, but unemployment is at record lows, right?
And did you just get that now? Yes. And they just got that now.
Sorry.
All right. Well, let's just talk about two companies quickly: Aspen and Nampak.
Yeah, Aspen we want to talk about because we've been watching this share, right? 3 years ago, 438 Rand. Last week, below 100 Rand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fallen. We've spoken about it before. Stephen Side's business, we said that they were over-indebted, things weren't going well, and when the economy's not going well, you're over-indebted, it goes very pear-shaped. Last week, though, there was a story that Aspen Pharmacare was selling their infant milk formula business within weeks to French company Lactalis. That should bring them 740 million euros. I'm not sure what that is in rands. What does Ben say? Majillions in rands. Majillions of rands.
3.7 majillions.
So they had a nice run on, I think it was Wednesday, the company was up 7% because that's when the news broke. And then on Thursday, it was up again another 4 or 5%, if I remember correctly. So we were talking about whether we want to be invested in this company, whether or not we believe Stephen Saad could actually turn this around. I think he's proving that maybe he can. And then the other one you asked me about was?
Nampak.
Oh, Nampak, yes, because they sold their cardboard business in Nigeria last week. And this is interesting. They didn't tell us how much they were selling it for, but what I find interesting, because I've been reading a lot about Amazon's plastic packaging, which they changed a year ago. So they changed from delivering in cardboard into what they call multi-purpose plastic. And the reason for that is because they can squash more purchases, goods that people are buying, into the airplanes, right? So it saves them on transport costs. But then about 2 months after they started using this plastic packaging, environmentalists started saying that no, it's not environmentally friendly and you can't do it. And what Amazon have done now is that they've changed their plastic into a more user-friendly plastic, if you like, or environmentally friendly plastic, I should say. And the reason I'm bringing Amazon up, obviously Nampak is the paper packaging, and one of the reasons we like Nampak and Mondi is because of Amazon and because of e-tailing, because people are buying things and getting it delivered in boxes, boxes and boxes standing in
e-tailing, as in retailing on the internet, e-tailing. Yes. I haven't heard that being used so much.
It's kind of last year, isn't it?
Sorry. I'm not saying I'm on top of things, but at least I could catch a joke about jabs.
Oh,
like that.
You
this
took
morning,
a jab at her. Okay. No?
Can we please move on? Right. Back to e-tailing.
Yes.
The reason we like Nampak and Mondi is because we had all these boxes delivered, cardboard boxes. And now suddenly I think I think the world really does watch what Amazon's going to do. Do you know that Amazon has 150 PhD employees, 150 PhD economists?
No.
I mean, why? Why would they? And it's really because they're looking at the way things are going and they're forward planning. Like they want to provide for the future. They want to, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think companies watch them. So if they're changing their packaging from cardboard boxes to plastic, then I suspect the rest of the world are going to do it as well. It's all it's kind of my whole story about Amazon.
Sure.
long way around.
Okay. Very, very good. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
We will see you again next week.
It's going to be an interesting week. Yeah, we've got mining, manufacturing. Again, these are numbers South Africa does not like so bad. Anyway.
Yeah, well
watch.
These are the old economy things.
They are, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Not as exciting. All right, Anthea, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is just after 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. I hope you're ready for a good day. Today, we're going to be here to look after you and hopefully fill you in on a whole lot of interesting things that are going on around the world and obviously locally. Ben has got some stuff to tell us. Leanne has got some news things that you might want to pay attention to. Sia's got some inspiration for us and Said by Sia. Shall we do that now? Let's do some Said by Sia.
Let's do it now.
All right, are you sure you're ready, Sia? Take it away.
Yes, I am.
All right, on you go.
Jewelry designer Kevin Friedman is probably singing God Save the Queen right now.
He's the guy from The Bachelor, isn't he?
No, he is not.
The one who makes the rings.
Yes. Ben, you made the connection. Yes. Look at you.
Gosh, you didn't. That's embarrassing.
The girls were all wearing his jewelry at the cocktail party last time.
Yes. Well, halala to him. He's a South African jewelry designer, as we've put together by now. But more than that, he was casually called up a few weeks ago by the Botswana government. And they said, listen, Kevin, hey, we'd like you to just commission this piece of jewelry. They gave him some specs. They approved designs. And he was just minding his own business, paging through a Marie Claire magazine the other day, and he finds out, bam, the Queen is wearing his jewelry.
No way.
I
hope she paid for it. She comes from a family of kleptos.
Yeah, they do like their jewelry.
So this morning
buy anything new. They just keep recycling old stuff.
And here now they have a new piece designed by a local designer. So this morning I just wanted to say halala to him. Kevin, he was called by the Botswana government and they had just commissioned this piece. And in his own words, he says, I'm freaking out. This is what he posted on social media. I've just seen my jewelry on Queen Elizabeth. This was a commission from the Botswana government. They wanted a brooch, but I never asked for whom. And bam, I've just seen my creation on the Queen.
Jeez,
what's
what
even
shocker.
More inspiring about the story is that actually Kevin works with a team of a lot of local people and particularly taking his work into community development projects with local crafters. So this is something truly South African, uplifting a lot of communities, and now is on a huge world stage. But this is the first time Kevin has taken over some world attention, because one of his pieces has even been worn by Charlize Theron before.
Charlize Theron.
From Charlize Theron, Queen Elizabeth, and even the Bachelor South Africa contestants.
Yeah,
Kevin is on a good path here. So just wanted to say halala and congratulations good to him this him. Morning. All That's right. Said by CF for today.
Thank you very much.
This is CliffCentral.com.